All right, let's get to our guest. Isaac Poole is with us. He is the global CIO at Oriana Financial Services on the line from Melbourne. Isaac, thanks for being with us. Tough markets to try to navigate these days. A lot of confusion being displayed in the bond market as to whether or not we're headed to some kind of recessionary pressure here. What's your take? If you look at the bond market, what's the message?
Yeah, I think it is. That's right. These are very, very volatile bond markets. And right now, I think they're trying to show a very big consensus that the Fed is going to keep hiking until they hit a recession, and then they're going to have to pivot and cut. And that's what we see in the shape of the futures out towards 2023, a big hump, and then lots of rate cuts. And I think that's hiding, perhaps, an alternative view that the Fed will get to something that's around neutral, and I think that's somewhere around 3 to 3.5%, and then pause, not pivot. And so it's not just a matter of hiking and cutting, pivoting. There is a pause in there that could happen. And I think it's a tension between those who are expecting a pause and those who are expecting a pivot that is driving so much of this volatility.
Right. Isaac, David here. And I guess the easy thing to do if the pivot was the accurate thing was to simply do nothing, right? But I guess under the other scenario where the Fed remains high and inflation remains relatively high, what's the investment strategy? Because that doesn't seem to be the middle ground that people are talking about as much.
No, it isn't the middle ground, but I think actually whether there is a recession or whether there is not a recession, government bond yields at the moment are offering a pretty good opportunity in the sense that there's income on offer, and there hasn't been for many, many years. There's downside protection against the recession. But if the Fed does pause, if inflation remains a little bit elevated, that drifts lower, and I think that's quite likely, then bond yields can sort of trade sideways within the range for a year, maybe a year and a half. And that will leave them delivering pretty good returns over that period in a way they just haven't in the last 6 months. So there's a real opportunity there to rebalance it. Really, the opportunity presented in June, rebalance back into duration, into government bonds, add them to the portfolio, and benefit from the both way nature of that trade.
So, what does that mean for the equity market? I'm trying to understand. Are we in a period, particularly where the U.S. is concerned, where we may be a little overbought?
I think that we've definitely seen a big move driven by that move lower in duration. Lower yields have helped growth, and that's been a driver of the big rally we've seen so far. But also, alongside that, the economy has been pretty resilient. Inflation has translated to better earnings than have been expected. And I think if the Fed can pause and extend this cycle a little bit, you're going to get upside surprises through 2023, and that means it probably isn't a bear market rally as the broad consensus is suggesting, and actually something that could be quite durable. I don't think we're going to see 16% gains every 4 weeks, but we could continue to see returns push higher over 2023 without a big bear market.
Isaac, let's maybe turn our attention to this part of the world here. I mean, there doesn't seem to be at least any strong case to be long China at the moment. Do you see otherwise, or is there anything else that you see perhaps as, you know, just reason for caution right now?
I think if you look in the rearview mirror, there's not a lot of positivity in China. The economic data is bad. The COVID situation is bad. It's difficult to draw any other conclusion than it's probably in a recession, however you'd like to define a recession in China. And that's being baked into prices for China. It's underperforming a lot. I think looking out over the next 12 to 18 months, there perhaps is some upside there when you consider we're, I think, through a recession there. And that's going to come through COVID policies being relaxed, not this month, not next month, perhaps after the National Congress at the end of this year. And there is upside to economic growth from the levels we're at now, and I think that hasn't been priced into markets. And so there are genuine opportunities in Chinese equities at the moment.
Because it's such a critical part of the equation when you look at the region, I'm wondering, does that necessarily mean you're bearish on the APAC region overall right now?
I think, right now, it's it's the case that the broader region has been dragged down by by China. It's been dragged down by rates moving higher in the U.S. and by the U.S. dollar strengthening, oil prices being high up until recently, and all of those are sort of a trifecta of bad news for the region. And it's not surprising that there's been such strong underperformance both in the currency and in the equity markets. But we are seeing the region genuinely opening up now. We're seeing travel come back through. The borders are opening up. Supply sides are starting to improve. Supply side disruptions. And again, I think if you buy into the idea that China's economy will recover through 2023, then that does provide quite a lot of scope for the broader region to ride onto that. The fly in the ointment to that argument is if the U.S. enters a deep recession next year, generated by the Fed hiking too much, then the game's over. And if you're going to see the region really suffering in that environment.
Juxtaposed against, and we're talking about what you just mentioned there, say equities in the region more broadly, against the bull or bear case in Europe, what do you think looks better?
I think Europe is out on its own as a place with structural issues that are certainly not helped by the cyclical impact of the war in Ukraine and higher energy prices, the impact that's having on consumer confidence, and a central bank that simply will not hike as much as the market would like and will probably under-deliver on rate hikes in terms of front-loading them. So in our view, Europe is in a void and is likely to underperform the rest of the world over the near term and probably over the next 18 to 24 months as well.
So I may have some salve for you. Crude oil, it was down big here in New York by more than 3%. It looks as though we are inching towards some type of a nuclear deal, the West with Iran. If there is the resumption of kind of Iranian exports here and we see crude make a move, let's say, sub $80 a barrel, that would be WTI. Does it change your outlook in any way?
It definitely helps, I think, if we can see oil prices, I'd say normalized to around $80 a barrel or so and sit there for the next 12 months, it's going to help not just Europe, it'll help the rest of the world. It will bring headline inflation down and give some breathing room to, say, the ECB and the Bank of England as well, for that case, in a place where they're really at the moment caught between a rock and a hard place. And I do expect oil prices will settle around there. I just think that there's been a momentum that's going to be difficult to stop in Europe in slowing growth and a real challenge for its equity markets.
Isaac, very quickly here, let's bookend this. We started out by you saying, duration and government bonds. So let's say 3.1% on treasuries. Do I take that on the two-year or the 30-year?
I think right now I'd be looking... I'd be quite comfortable to taking it at the front end because I think you could see a bit of a rally there over the next 6 to 12 months.
Interesting. And yes, that seems to be a non-conviction call, contrarian call at this point in time. But yes, Isaac Poole, thank you so much for joining us, Global CIO at Oriana Financial Services.